America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. Hi everyone, I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. We bridge divides, we seek deeper meaning, and we answer life's most compelling questions from experts around the world. Because in a world of uncertainty and division within and out, we will need answers right here, right now. Join me and guests on America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was the late and great Marvin Gaye. And how timeless is that piece, Inner City? You're listening to America Meditating. It's always my pleasure to have a heart-to-heart conversation with you and to learn through the voices of our guests that we have on the air, who I find to be some of the most biggest voices in contributing a positive story to our narrative. I think for many of you by now, you know that our lives are here to live for a higher purpose, and that doesn't mean doing something big. It means being something sweet and respectable and open and honest. We're having a moment in the studio because we've been having such a day today, and it's been a challenge of maintaining your virtues at the same token, still getting the job done effectively. So here's the point that I'm trying to make. Sometimes when you're doing something big, it's an expression of your virtues, of your character. It's not about how many likes you have, or how many people watched your movie, or how high rating, you know, or how high ranking is your television show, and that's also good. We have talents, we have gifts, we have mastered certain arts, so use them without a doubt. But always remember, sometimes in the small things are your greatest achievements. Sometimes that ability to tolerate, to accommodate, to accept that which you can't change turns out to be your biggest achievement for the day. I'd like to reiterate that. Sometimes that which you cannot change just might turn out to be your biggest achievement for the day. That I can accept it, accommodate it, embrace it, and allow it to be what it needs to be for me. Stay tuned. We're going to be having a heart-to-heart conversation with Judy Goss. I'm going to give you her list is extensive, but I was thinking as I was looking over Judy's bio, I said, there's more to this person. I can see it. Her accolades are very obvious, but there's so much more to Judy, and I wanted you all to tune into that as well. Here is a track from my latest release, Inclusion Revolution, which, of course, is something that came out of me on a mountaintop in India in February, dealing with what we were witnessing in the U.S., but also around the world. I came back and I bumped into a producer on Twitter. This young guy is a hip-hop artist, cigar smoker, whiskey drinker, maybe someone I wouldn't be hanging out with every day. But I also got to learn about the heart of Joe Robb, who produced the music for my latest album. A man of values, virtues, very respectful, very honest. And I said to myself, I would have never known that, because what I would see maybe was the cigar smoking and the whiskey bottles and the cap and all of that. And it's just not a world that I'm used to. But what is it? I'm doing an album on inclusivity. How am I going to know what that means in the process if I haven't embraced the absolute, perhaps physical opposite to who I am? So here's Free of Attachments. Hope you enjoy it. Take a deep breath. What if I no longer carried any attachments? Attachments about who I think I am, or how someone else perceives me, or attachment to my country or my gender, attachment to a religion. What would it be like to be free of attachments to labels? And to simply be loving. So just for a little while, I invite you to let go of attachments. What if I was no longer attached to my name? How does it feel? Let go of your attachment to your gender. You're no longer a man or a woman. Let go of your titles, let go of your nationality, and experience yourself letting go of even your religion. Now let go of your body. If I don't have a name, a gender, a title, a nationality, a religion, or a body, then who would I think of? And who would think of me? It would be the Supreme Being that would think of me. And I would think of the Supreme. In this meditation, I invite you to opposite to an experience of unlimited freedom and real inner power. Now gradually observe how the soul feels as it puts back on the awareness of the body, nationality, religion, gender, and the name, and bring through these labels your experience of being with the divine and feeling free and at peace with yourself. Om Shanti. Welcome back, everyone. That was Free of Attachments from The Inclusion Revolution Together with Love. I'm Sister Jenna. We're pleased to welcome Judy Goss, who is a TV personality, radio host, entrepreneur, and author. Judy interviews an A-list celebrity group where she hosts her own shows and works as a regular TV contributor all across the country. She has appeared or been featured on every major television network repeatedly and is currently a regular contributor on NBC and Fox, along with continually appearing in vast array of magazines, blogs, newspapers. She has an interesting way of revealing just, I think, a very beautiful expression of the presence of a woman. That's my thought and feeling. And she's got a networking company entitled What Women Want Talk Radio, and also is a featured lifestyle expert. Today I'm proud to welcome Judy Goss to the America Meditating Radio. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the air.
Sister Jenna, thank you so much for having me on. I just admire everything that you're about and everything that you represent. I'm very impressed.
Thank you. Well, you know what it's like when you have one of those days in the studio when everything goes off.
I was laughing when you said that. I thought, oh, dear, I've had those too.
Don't you love those? And you know what, Judy? One of the most important things for me to be is as authentic as possible and not to worry about it, because at the end of each conversation or moment, you want to feel at peace with yourself.
Well, exactly. You know? And you were talking about earlier about the things we can't control, and that's something you just can't control. So why freak out over something that you have no control of? I mean, it's really hard. It's taken me probably 48 and a half years to learn this. But, you know, I'm starting to get it.
I know what you mean. Tell us a little bit about your journey. You have such an extensive background. And as I've often felt when an individual reads out our bio, you sit there and you're like, gosh, there's so much more to me than just what this is about. I think where I'd like to take this question is, what's driving you? What seems to be at the base of why you wake up in the morning and why you make the decisions that you do?
That's a good question. There are several things that drive me, I've learned over the years, and I've been involved in so many different careers and so many different lives, I feel like, that, you know, a lot of things drive me. But recently, my main focus, and recently I'll say for the past probably about 10 years, has been just this pulling of wanting to help women. And wanting to bring together women from all over the world eventually and see how we can try and elevate and, you know, bring each other to higher levels together. And I really think 10 years ago, I call myself a visionary now, because 10 years ago, nobody was really concentrating. I mean, not nobody, but we didn't really have this wave of women's type of movement going on yet. Right, I feel like it's really finally happening in the past year or so that women are really pushing themselves to get together and try to figure out how we can help each other, finally, from all different ages and women from all different lands and cultures and religious backgrounds and all that. So again, I appreciate where you're coming from, where you would like to bring everyone together also with the same mindset of there is no certain religion that's right. There is no certain, you know, attitude that's right as long as you're a good person and you do things that can further, you know, the good on a level for our planet, right?
Exactly. And, you know, don't we go through various stages even to actually be clear to decode that that's really what my purpose is? I don't know about you, but in your 20s, I mean, I'm really not really much thinking about world service. I'm thinking about my career, creating a name for myself, something, you know, about life, the external world.
Right.
That also has its own merits. And as we go through the emotional changes, the professional changes, the interior changes, we realize that something within sometimes calls us to offer more. And yes, I think we are in an age definitely for the galvanizing of women to believe that their presence and their abilities and their virtues that are God-given are such strong tools to stand firm in the midst of adversity. And
right,
so,
and that we were born to lead also.
It
seems
mm-hmm.
like women have trouble believing that sometimes, don't you agree?
It does. You know, in Indian culture, we have 108 goddesses called Shiv Shaktis, and each one of these goddesses represent a particular virtue which she uses to dance on the head of a demon. And I feel that one of the areas as women that we must identify is what is your greatest strength, that in the midst of adversity, you use it as your weapon.
Very good point. And you
yes,
have to know what it is, right, to use it.
Right,
so,
you
and
do.
That's where we get to, and I feel like I'm always saying this on my radio show also, is that's where we get down to, okay, go within. That's where the answer is. But again, it took me years to learn that simple statement too. The statement that the answer is within, and the statement that don't try to force what you can't control, because I am a person, I don't need to be in control all the time. I'm not like a bossy, you know, have to take control with whatever I do, but I have a need to succeed. I have an inner desire to really, I'm a perfectionist, I guess, is what it comes down to. And it's just, I have this, you know, overwhelming desire to do what I set out to do. And a lot of times I try to force it, or a lot of times in my past, I've tried to force it into completion, and it just doesn't work. And it's really hard to explain something like that to someone who, you know, is really just starting on their spiritual journey.
Because I think what it is that we are trying to match a template of the male-dominated society, and I don't mean that as a negative, but I think, and this is something I've observed for me when I've been in meetings with extremely what they call high-profile influencers who are all men and I'm the only woman in the room. It's like, look, you've got your own vibe. I'm not even going to compete with that, but this is me. This is my energy. This is where I come from. Judy, I'll tell you, the more I come from my place of peace and power and a sense of certainty within myself, it's like I've seen it with my own eyes. They all become like little boys. And it fascinates me because I'll have other friends in meetings and they'll say, what is it about you? They all act so goofy around you. I don't know. I'm just myself. I don't know. What can I say? What women want? I don't know. We just want to be ourselves.
Yeah. Oh,
think,
that's fantastic.
You know,
you can do that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a struggle for us to have that practice of just settling within you with such a power and a dignity that that's your work. And I think it brings me to asking you about your national networking company, What Women Want. I'd love to hear more about it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for asking about it. The whole concept started when I was an editor at More Magazine. And I started as an editor sitting at a desk, and they asked me a few months after I started if I would, you know, do a TV segment about the, you know, when the editors come on TV and talk about either beauty or fashion. It's called Lifestyle Segment. So I said, sure, and that morphed into me becoming their media spokesperson as well as their spokesperson for their model search every year, which got about 20,000 applicants a year. And the model search was not just about looks. I come from the high fashion modeling world, so that's all I knew as far as, you know, modeling was concerned. But their model search, of course, was not just the way a woman looked, but the story, the background behind it. And I know you said earlier that I have a feeling there's a whole lot more to Judy than just, you know, her bio, which our bios tend to be, you know, the positive things, right? We're not going to put all of our backstory in our bio. But when I was sitting at Moore, you know, and I started traveling around the country then as a spokesperson for their model search and meeting these women in person, lining up, hundreds of them. Sometimes, one time, 350 women were lined up at this mall outside of Boston just to sign up for the model search. And I started realizing, wow, every woman here has a story. And not only that, but they want to be heard. They want to be celebrated. They want to be highlighted. So I would get back to my desk at Moore, at Meredith Corporation, and I had to say no to 99% of them, you know, they didn't make the magazine. And that really bothered me, coming from the background, how I was raised and my ethics and morals. And I thought, who am I to sit here and say, you know, you didn't make the magazine? You know, you're not good enough, basically, which, you know, maybe a lot of them didn't take it that way. Yeah, no, it seems very, you know, negative. And I have a thick skin because I come from the modeling industry. But these women, you know, they're not used to that. So I was there for about 2 years, and I got laid off. The recession, the stock market crashed, and the recession started happening. And I was given an amazing severance, and I thought to myself, how can I give back to these women while I'm looking for another job? So I started writing about them myself, and I thought, well, at least someone, you know, at least they'll have a link to something here. And that morphed into my company, which at that point I called Over 40 Females, because I got the concept, you know, from working at Moore Magazine, and they focused on the woman over 40. And that morphed into me creating which I never thought I was going to do in the beginning, but creating a networking company, which now we have 15 chapters around the country. We're 6 years old now. And
congratulations.
Thank you so much. And my dream was always to have more national conferences, you know, than just on a local level. But local was all I could do back then. You know, after I got laid off, my husband's business unfortunately went down, and he, you know, we had to file for bankruptcy, and I had twin toddlers at home, and you know, everything basically was crashing and burning around me. You know, I feel like after 6 years, I should be so much farther where I am, but you know, things got in the way, things I couldn't control. And at that time, unfortunately, I did try to control them, so it may have taken a little longer because of that.
Couldn't get out of the way, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't get out of my own way. And, you know, it was a lot. I mean, we at one point didn't know how we were going to feed our children. We had, you know, I didn't have any parents to lean on. Actually, my parents wouldn't, you know, help me. And my husband didn't have any relatives or anyone that could help us out. And, you know, it was a struggle for a lot of years.
Yeah,
it was a rough time. And, I mean, even one Christmas, we couldn't give the girls Christmas presents, you know. We couldn't afford to buy them. And they were too young to realize, you know, but we realized. And that's, you know, that's a big blow. So, basically, to make a very long story a little shorter, here I am today looking back, and I'm finally living my dream in October with a National Women's Conference, my first one. And we're bringing 300 women who are coming from all over the country. We have a couple coming from Canada also, and it's called Spirit of Women. And it's really it's really bringing together all of my brands, which is about business and lifestyle, and how we can succeed farther and faster in our businesses if we also work on the business of ourselves.
That's an important aspect. And how much have you observed business changing because of social media and the speed of change that we're witnessing? Because I've noticed that even if you put a product or something out there, after like 10 days, there's something else even bigger and better than what you've put in. You know what I mean? Like, it's going so fast. I step back and I ask, how are people surviving? It's a really intense time.
I do too. And one of the things that I do when I step back is try to slow everything down. But it's sometimes it just seems impossible.
Possibly,
because then you slow down, and like you said, your business is still out there, and you still need to keep up with everything, you know, that's out there. And it is, it's intimidating, and it's something that, again, we have to really start from within to try to control what we can control, right, which is ourselves. But it is very intimidating, and I just am constantly looking for ways to slow down.
Yeah,
but there's a delicate balance.
It is. It's a fine line, because despite if I'm living from an inner perspective or an outer perspective, I'm still living from within. But if my inside world, you know, that world behind our eyes, is very conditioned by the outside stimuli that this is what life is about, it can, I think, throw me off from really realizing that feeling you had when that Christmas you couldn't buy a present for the kids. Remember that feeling?
Yes.
It's like this feeling of knowing that you're so much more than this. That inner dimension is what I'm talking about, that should be at that surface that I think we're all wanting to tap more into. The other day I was sitting with a multi-millionaire, and he was telling me that he was raised on a farm where there was no running water in the house. They had to go out to the river and get water to bathe, to cook, to clean. And now he's got money just unlimited flowing, right? And I said, how does it feel? He says, I think every day I just want to go back to the farm.
Wow.
And there was something in that message, there was something in that story that reminded me of the simple things in life that matter the most. And to what extent have we moved from that simplicity and have fallen into the trap of the illusion? And so the work now that we're doing behind our eyes is to bring those feelings of that simple life into the forefront of my material abundance. I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah. No, I know. I agree with you. And it actually took me a long, long time to even, you know, figure out that I deserved abundance, you know, and that I deserved a successful company. And it's been a very, very long road, and we're still pushing forward. But in the end, you're right. You look back, and for me, I look back and want to combine, you know, what I've learned with what I'm doing now. I don't want to have a business, and I am not judging anyone that does, but I don't want to have a business that's just one-dimensional. I want to help women, and I also want to help children, which we our national partner is Girls Inc., and our partner for the conference is Tutu Desks. I don't know if you've heard of Tutu Desks.
No, I haven't.
Desmond Tutu's daughter, Mapizzo, started a foundation for children in Africa to buy them all desks. And she's trying to get millions of desks for these children by the year 2020. So, you know, us contributing to nonprofit organizations and, you know, giving back while we're doing our business, which has pretty much been how I've always been, but now it's my company, so I can do it, you know, I can do it on my own. So it's much more fulfilling. And I think that all wraps around to what that gentleman was saying, that he, you know, he feels like he wants to be on the farm. I think we can have a little bit of that farm if we just, you know, open ourselves up to giving back while we're making our millions, right?
And the irony is that he's one of the biggest donors in the area. And what I got from his conversation was he basically was saying to me, I just wanted to have these feelings again, these feelings as I celebrate my abundance. And that's what I took from his conversation with me. And it just stuck so strong in me that I just said, wow, that is so true. That is so true. Judy, let's kind of switch the conversation a little bit. Thank God you're out of journalism on CBS and all of these things, because I don't know how journalists are really dealing with covering the news 9 to 5 today. It's got to be the most stressful period for journalists that I've ever encountered in history in my lifetime. There's a lot of unique vibrations in the U.S. Some can call it divisiveness, separation, I don't hate, all of the things that you hear on the news. For me, I see it in two parts. There's an awakening happening, and there's also a letting go of something old, which is no longer useful for the future that's awaiting us, which I think is a future of inclusivity. Could you share with us a little bit, how can we go about bringing a little bit more healing and love in a faster speed, at the speed that the change is taking place at this time? Any ideas?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, we need to embrace again, this comes to back to the subject of, you know, what we can't change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was going through what I was going through with the bankruptcy and all of that and having small kids, and, you know, I just really tried to be grateful for the little things. And again, this goes back to the gentleman with the farm. You know, as far as moving the momentum faster forward in a faster way, I don't mm-hmm. think we're in control of that. And I think
mm-hmm.
that, nice. You know, all we can do right now is really try to show people how they can be happy. I really think that if more people, you know, would just grasp that concept, that it, maybe that would move it forward faster. Maybe it would start catching on and things would start to, you know, take on a new life in a new way. I feel like not enough people are appreciating, you know, there's not enough gratitude, honestly, in the world. I see, and not just with politics, you know, I see it every day, you know, even just living here in New York.
On a personal level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on a very personal level. And it's just people are just very suspicious of each other and, you know, not making an effort to smile and to make friends and to be there for each other.
And, you know, it takes me back again to that story. I don't know how many countries we've traveled to. I've gone to over 90. And in many of the villages, the small towns, the simple cities, the tiny huts, I've seen sparkles in those eyes. And I sit there and I go, gosh, this illusion that drives us, it's okay to have both, but not to lose the spirit of the existence of what is real, which is the qualities that you mentioned, you know, the love and the peace. And I think that's the frontier that we're encountering, is the frontier behind our eyes, that now it's time to pay attention to why are you doing what you're about to do? Why are you even thinking what you're about to think? Is it true? Is it real for you? Is it eternal? Is it a legacy? And I feel that's the role of women today. And I'm just, you know, applauding you for your work for women empowerment, because it's a need for us to galvanize each other and to maybe relearn a new way in how we lift each other up. And so your Spirit of Women conference that's coming up, as you mentioned earlier, in October, could you please let us know how our listeners can sign up for it, how they can register, and if there's anything they can do to contribute to it?
Oh, well, thank you again for asking. It's spiritofwomenconference.com. It's October 7th through 8th. It's about a day and a half at the Westin Hotel Peachtree Plaza in downtown Atlanta. And like I said, we have speakers and attendees coming from all over the country, and our focus is going to be on exactly that, the spirit of a woman. And tickets are being sold on spiritofwomenconference.com. And we're also going to be posting it all over the place, obviously, on social media. We have a group page, spiritofwomenconference.com. And we're really embracing the, like I said before, the lifestyle tools and strategies that you can apply to be successful in business and your personal life, because they really go together and they're interchangeable. And as we become more successful in business, you know, we want to that personal, interpersonal feeling to develop also.
Beautiful.
And this is what's going to make a better world.
I agree. And you're making our world a better place. And thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I feel like you are just so, you know, synergistic with what, not just what I'm about, but with what is happening in the world. And you're making the world a better place also. I mean, you're really putting that positive vibe out there. Even just with this interview, I've learned so much just by listening to you, you know. I mean, you expect in an interview that you're going to talk about yourself and you're going to kind of try to tell people and teach people. And I've learned so much from you already.
Thank you, Judy. Many good wishes, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So as Judy said, it's a journey, and it continues to be a journey. And I want everyone to know that, like, nobody is just born with all the answers going on just right. And life gives you curveballs, things you just can't change. But I can bet you, in your most quietest moment, and you do a life review, you'll realize that without that obstacle, without that really challenging moment, you wouldn't be the person you are today. You wouldn't perhaps believe in some of the higher values that you believe in today. Or maybe you wouldn't feel your pride and your courage and your power that you do today. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Judy Gross. And you are listening to America Meditating. And we're so proud to launch and welcome Diane Tillman, an author, a psychologist for children. And we're going to be having a special segment now with Diane, who's featuring some positive thoughts and ideas about how to nurture kids and how to be a better parent. So I hope you enjoy Diane Tillman now as she gives us a little tidbit on how to nurture our children. Good morning. This is Diane Tillman, the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect, A Mindful Guide to Parenting. Thank you, Sister Jenna, for asking me to be on your show. I'm looking forward to creating a series of parenting blurbs for your listeners. I know that both of us feel that parenting is so important. One of the most important jobs in the world, if not the most important one. I worked as a school psychologist for 23 years and then helped create Living Values Education Initiative. In that project, I ended up learning a lot about values. I wrote 15 educational resource books on values and traveled around the globe many times. And so it was a fascinating experience. I realize the problems that come up in life are common no matter where we are. I know that in the world today there is a general increase in anxiety and uncertainty and fear. I wrote this book 3 years ago because I was concerned about this general trend of increasing disrespect and violence and the lack of seeing others as family. In particular, I was concerned about bullying in schools and the increase in suicide rates of 11 to 14-year-olds, and very concerned about the radicalization of young adults. I think that parents are the key in helping with this, for I feel that we can create communities of kindness and peace and love and mindfulness around us. And we can empower our children to love values and to have the social skills and the confidence to be assertive in their values. For these, help them have protective social skills and help them make positive and socially conscious choices. And so I know that we'll have many more times to discuss about this in future parenting blurbs. But for today, I would just like to invite you to do two things. And one is to perhaps put down the electronics, put down the phones for an hour a day, and simply be mindful with yourself, with your children, to have perhaps a family time where no one has their electronics on for an hour, and just be conscious and present and enjoy them. For parents are the most important thing in their child's life. Your love and your presence is the world to them. So give them the present of your presence. The other thing that I would like to invite you to do is to think about two values that you would like to have in your mind as you interact with your children and with your family. What two values do you think would change the world? Do everyone love them? The answer will be different for each one of us, perhaps, but each one of us is right. If everyone lived the two values that were most important to them in their life, the world would completely change. And so, enjoy being mindful, and please enjoy thinking about which two values you would like to keep in your mind as you interact with your children. Have a wonderful day. This is Diane Tillman, the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect, A Mindful Guide to Parenting. Thank you, Diane. That was absolutely beautiful and I think timely in this age in which our children are really conflicted with understanding what are real core values. Well, let's not end the show without our beloved Sister Gita reading us something from her treasure store. Sister Gita? Good day to all of us, and Om Shanti is a greeting of peace. It's the original religion of the soul, peace. And we know originally we were full of purity, peace, love, bliss, knowledge, contentment, trust, all of these lovely things. I will read today, Women as Servers. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. The idea of women playing any role outside the home was strongly opposed in the community where I grew up. That was a long time ago, and things have changed. But I didn't wait for the change. I had the strong desire to work for the upliftment of humanity, and that's what I set out to do. The courage to do this came from being very clear about my spiritual identity. In point of fact, I am neither male nor female. I am a soul, the child of the Supreme Parent, God. I am currently in a female form. I was also very clear about my aim and concerned about how to be of more service to others. The world has never looked to women for help in solving its problems. Instead, it has turned to those of great authority, to scholars, and to the very wealthy. This has been the crucial mistake. The mother's role is to awaken the children with great love and prepare them for the rest of the day. She is their support. She nurtures. Generally, it is attachment to the home and children which prevents women from fulfilling their calling. To go beyond that attachment is no small accomplishment. To go beyond the fear of what society will say is no less. My relationship with the divine gave me such internal power that I was not intimidated by social convention. The spirit was strong and so withstood all external pressures and influences. Taken from Companion of God, authored by Daddy Janki, 102 years old, and was tested to have the most powerful mind in the world, and she credits that to God's being her companion. The wisdom and words of Daddy Janki. Om Shanti, women as servers, and to everyone.
Thank you so much, Sister Geeta. As usual, jewels and unlimited jewels and unlimited jewels. You've been listening to America Meditating, and we thank you for joining us on the air. And we're going to end today with Om Shanti Om. Take care.